Begin this morning. And as you're turning there, I'm just going to open up in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for each and every person that's here this morning. We just thank you, God, for the message that you put on my heart to share. And I just thank you, God, that ears are going to be open, hearts are going to be receptive to the word that you have for us this morning, that they're going to leave here changed, they're going to leave here encouraged, they're going to leave here motivated. And we just thank you, God, as we continue to talk about detoxing the soul, detoxifying the soul, that we're going to recognize what it means to detox our soul and to get healthy spiritually. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to ask a question this morning. Does anyone here remember what life was like before they were potty trained? Anybody remember what life was like before you were potty trained? No, I don't either. That's probably a good thing. It's probably a good thing that we don't remember what life was like before we were potty trained. But if you're a parent, how many parents do we have in the place this morning? Parents, yeah, that's right. And then maybe if you're a parent, you've had a baby or you have a baby. And if you're not a parent, maybe you've had the pleasure of babysitting a baby and changing a dirty diaper. How many people in here have changed a dirty diaper before? All right. Not the most pleasurable thing to do. Now that I'm a dad, I've had the pleasure of changing countless dirty diapers, filthy diapers, and it's not the most pleasant thing in the world, but, you know, especially when you wake up in the morning to find your baby in the crib, not only having filled its diaper, but also filled its onesie that it's wearing, right? That's a lot of fun. And so you're having to unwrap your baby from its onesie and all the crap that's in there, and peel the diaper off, and I mean it's and then go throw them in the tub. I mean, what else do you do? You're just like, all right, we're just gonna take this elsewhere, right? And it's a lot like when you leave a candy bar in your car on a hot summer day. That's what it's like to find your baby, in the onesie with everything going on. And it's a lot of fun, and just when my wife and I thought we were seeing light at the end of the tunnel with the baby stage, and Braylon's now 2, she's starting to get to the age where she can learn to use the potty. She's not there yet, but she's getting there, and we're like, yes, we're almost out of the diaper stage. This is going to be great. And then 5 months ago, God showed us that he really believes in our parenting skills. And so he blessed us with a third pregnancy. And so in a few months, we'll be restarting the baby stage. Praise the Lord for that. Restarting the diaper stage. And that's going to be a lot of fun. But aren't you thankful that just as a parent, and any parent can relate with me, if you haven't had a baby, if you're not a parent, then I know what it's like. You think, oh my gosh, I am never going to change a poopy diaper. That was me. Before I became a dad, I was like, sorry, honey, you get all the dirty diapers. But as a dad, you realize that it's your baby. And so even though it has a poopy diaper and it's got a dirty, stinky diaper and it is gross and it is disgusting, it doesn't really disgust you as the parent because it's your child. And I'm just thankful that God as our father isn't disgusted by our filth, because he's a good father and he's not disgusted by our sin. He's not disgusted by our dirty diapers, right? I wanted to talk to you this morning about detoxing the soul. Soul detox. The Bible says that we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth, right? That's what the Bible calls us as Christians, us as believers. We are the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And something about light is that light changes atmosphere. Light changes the atmosphere, which is why I love lights, because you can change the atmosphere of our sanctuary. If you notice, the lighting that we use for our message right now is quite different than the lighting that we use for our worship set, because light sets the atmosphere. If we were to turn all the lights off in this room right now, it would change the atmosphere. Light changes atmosphere. Light changes things. And salt, just like light changes atmosphere, salt changes flavor. Salt changes the taste of things. Have any of you ever had French fries that didn't get enough salt? I don't know about you, but I love my French fries extra salty. That's me. Anybody else extra salty fries? Yeah. So when I get a thing of French fries and they're non-salted, like, doesn't taste good to me. Or potato chips. Can you imagine what potato chips would taste like without salt? They would not taste good. They're probably healthier, and I'm sure they make unsalted potato chips, but they wouldn't be good. It wouldn't taste good. And as Christians, we are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And just like light changes atmosphere and salt changes taste and flavor, we are called to change our world, to change the world around us. Now, you as an individual are probably not going to change the world in its entirety, but you can change your world. We all have a world. There's people in your world that I can't reach, but you can reach them. But before we go ahead and before we're effective in changing our world, we have to change ourselves. We have to start with ourselves. And so the Bible asks us in Luke chapter 6 and verse 42, it says, how can you think of saying, friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. In other words, before you can help others, before you can truly help others, you have to help yourself, right? Before you can go trying to change everyone else's dirty diaper, you've got to change your own dirty diaper. You know when a child has a dirty diaper. I said, you know when a child has a dirty diaper. Braylon, as I was saying, our youngest daughter, Braylon, is not yet potty trained. And when she's got a dirty diaper, we know it. And it's not because she told us. It's because we can smell it, right? And I've seen kids that they've got a dirty diaper, and maybe you can't smell it, but you can see it. Like, you can see that it looks like they're carrying some extra baggage. Their pants are sagging, their diaper's sagging. And the funny thing with kids is they don't care. They could wear a dirty diaper. I mean, Braylon would probably go hours in her dirty diaper if we didn't catch it, because they're just going through life with this dirty diaper on, and they don't realize the harmful effects of keeping a dirty diaper on, such as diaper rash and other fun things that come with leaving a dirty diaper on. But people today are doing the same thing in life. And as we go through life, we sometimes feed ourselves some toxins, some toxic food, some toxic stuff, and we end up going through life wearing this heavy, stinky, dirty diaper. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. In other words, let's do a soul detox. Let's do a spiritual detox. Let's flush out the toxins from our spirit man. What are the toxins? It's the harmful stuff that we take in that sometimes we decide is okay. Like, even though we might realize it's probably toxic, it's probably not good for us, in the moment, it tastes good, and we like it, and so we take it in. Things like, you know, toxic attitudes, toxic language, toxic thoughts, toxic beliefs, toxic lifestyles, disobedience, rebellion, lying, pornography, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, lying, stealing, gossip. These are all things that are toxic that we take in. These are toxins that we take in. We're not exempt. Just because we're Christians doesn't make us perfect. We're not exempt from taking in some toxins. And so we become so used to it, sometimes we forget that it's toxic, and we go through life filled with toxins, and we wonder why we're not feeling healthy spiritually. And we wonder why we're feeling spiritually dry. And we wonder why our walk with God and our relationship with God isn't as strong and on fire and as passionate as we'd like it to be. And it's because we have filled ourselves with toxins. And so we need to do a soul detox. Let's give our spirit man a cleanse and rid our soul of these harmful toxins. Amen? Amen. Let's look at the scripture again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I want to kind of dissect this for a moment. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Now, I want you to notice something. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. You realize those are two different things, right? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. That means there are things, and you can write this down in your notes this morning, there are things that can hold us back and get in the way of our relationship with God that isn't necessarily sin. There are things that we can take in. There are toxins that we can take in that will negatively affect our life, that will negatively affect our relationships, our relationship with God. And they aren't necessarily sins, but they're toxic. And too often we try to justify what we do and some of the wrong things that we do and some of the wrong things that we think and we believe. And we try to justify our actions by saying, well, it's not technically a sin. Well, the Bible doesn't really speak against doing any of these things. And so, but I want to tell you, it doesn't matter if it's a sin technically or not. If it's hindering you from growing in your relationship with God, it's time to detox. If there's things that you're taking in that you may say, well, it's not technically sin, but it's toxic and it's negatively affecting your relationship with God, it's time to detox. For example, relationships. Let me talk about relationships for a minute. Is it a sin to be connected or in relationship or in certain relationships? Is it a sin to be in certain relationships? I would say no. It's not a sin to be connected with certain people and in relationship with certain people. That in and of itself is not a sin. But if certain people are hindering you from growing in your relationship with God, it's time to reevaluate those relationships. It may not be a sin to be friends with those people, to be connected and in relationship with those people. But if those relationships are holding you back from your relationship with God or having a negative influence on you, then it's time to detox. It's time to do a social detox. Some of us need to do a social detox in our life. We need to reevaluate the relationships that we have. Now listen, I'm not saying that we can't be connected or we shouldn't be connected with those who aren't Christians or those who are unbelievers. In fact, I think that would be anti-gospel. As Christians, we need to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, right? We need to be in relationship with people who don't know Jesus so that we can show them the unconditional love of Jesus. So I'm not saying not to be in relationship with those who are unbelievers. They need our relationship. They need our connection. But if those people are having more of a negative influence on you than you are having a positive influence on them, that's the issue. We have to be careful that those we're in relationship with aren't having a negative influence on us, but that we're having a positive influence on them. Amen? If you're just going to do what they do, you're just going to talk how they talk. You're just going to live how they live. What's different? They're having an influence on you. And it's a lot easier for people to pull you down to their level than it is for us to pull them up to our level. Not saying it can't be done, but that's just truth. If you're standing on a ladder and somebody walks by and grabs your arm and yanks you off, it's a lot easier for them to yank you off the ladder than it is for you to pull them up the ladder. Fact, right? So relationships are just one example of something that may not necessarily be a sin, But it doesn't matter if it's a sin or not. If it's hindering you from growing in your relationship with God, it's time to detox. Let's continue reading the verse. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now look at this. And let us run with perseverance. Perseverance, the race marked out for us. I want to give you the definition this morning of perseverance and what it means to have perseverance. Perseverance is the steady and continued action or belief, usually over a long period and especially despite difficulties or setbacks. Steady and continued action or belief, usually over a long period and especially despite difficulties or setbacks. How many of you guys know as the life of a Christian isn't exempt from difficulties and setbacks? The Christian life is not an easy life, but it is a better life. I said it is a better life. Come on. Life with Jesus is so much better than life without Jesus, but it's not necessarily easier. It involves going through trials and tribulations. It involves going through difficulties and setbacks. It requires us to give up whatever it is that's holding us back from our relationship with God and to run patiently and with perseverance. It involves fighting against our sinful nature, which isn't easy. We have our flesh and we've got our spirit. We've got our flesh man and our spirit man, and they're constantly at war with one another. But because of Jesus, let me tell you this, but because of Jesus, we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit to assist us with all of that. Through the difficulties, through the trials, through the tribulations, through the setbacks, whatever it is that we're going through, God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to assist us with all of it. I want you to write this down on your notes. To live effectively as Christians, we have to detox, run with perseverance, and keep our eyes on Jesus. If we're going to live an effective Christian life, if we're going to be effective Christians, Christians that are having an influence on our world, Christians that are having a positive influence on those around us, then we have to detox and run with perseverance through the difficulties and keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to rid ourselves of everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. Run with perseverance and fix our eyes on Jesus. If any of you are like me, you've had your fair share of struggles with sin and toxic things. Right? I'm not the only one, right? I may be a pastor, but I'm not perfect. I've dealt with sin. I've dealt with toxic stuff as well. And sometimes it seems like it just keeps coming back. Like you're in the struggle and you feel like you finally are like free from it, and then it comes back. Like you finally won the battle against anger or depression or whatever it is, and then you have a weakness, a moment of weakness, and it comes back. Christianity is a lot like babies, right? And what I mean by that is babies aren't born potty trained. I wish they were. That would make life a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? But babies aren't born potty trained. But I'm glad that my parents didn't give up on my dirty diapers. And I'm glad that God doesn't give up on our dirty diapers. We all start as babies in Christ, and no baby is ever born potty training. Just like a parent is able to throw away their baby's dirty diapers, God is able to throw away our dirty diapers. Whatever sin and toxins that you're dealing with, God is able to take it away and to throw it away. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We've all sinned. And we all fall short of God's glory. But you need to know that the sin you deal with does not make you a bad person. the sin that you deal with, the sin that you struggle with, just because you might be struggling with a sin doesn't make you a bad person. There's a lot of great people who are sinners. But you meet them, you talk to them, they're great people. They've got good hearts. But they're sinners. Just because, I mean, we've all sinned. And just because we've all sinned doesn't make us all bad people. It just means we're in need of a Savior. We're in need of God's forgiveness and grace. Unconditional love. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man." What that means is whatever temptation you face, you're not the only one who's faced it. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. This is good news. This is good news. Jesus has already defeated sin and death. It's saying that we can fight against our sinful nature and win. We can win because Jesus won. Jesus already won that battle for us. We can walk in the grace of Jesus. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Let me tell you something about temptation. Temptation is not a sin. Temptation in and of itself is not a sin. It's the lure to sin. It's the lure to sin. And temptation reveals our sinful desires. You think about the time, any time in your life where you've been tempted. Why are you tempted? Because it's something that you actually desire. So you're tempted. If you don't desire it, you wouldn't be tempted. You can't be tempted for what you do not desire. For instance, Satan in the Bible, Lucifer, tried to tempt Jesus. You guys know about this? Satan took Jesus and took him in the desert and tempted him with power, and it was stupid and foolish because Jesus already knew, look, you've already been defeated. I've got all the power. You know, my Father's got all the power. So it didn't work. So Satan tried to tempt Jesus, but Jesus couldn't be tempted because he had no sinful desires. He didn't have a sinful nature. So he couldn't be tempted. In order to be tempted by something, you have to actually desire it. For example, I could have a jar of sardines. Now, most people don't like sardines. If you do happen to be one of the weirdos that likes sardines, think of a different food that you don't like, okay? But for the sake of this example, I'm going to use sardines because I think most people probably don't like sardines. But if I were to tempt you with a jar of sardines, I'm tempting you. But you're not tempted because you don't desire the sardines. Well, that doesn't change the fact that I'm attempting to tempt you. But because you don't desire it, you're not tempted. Right? But if I were to replace the sardines with a big wad of cash, now are you tempted? Why? Because I'm tempting you with something you actually want. It's something you actually desire. You can't be tempted for what you don't desire. Temptation reveals our sinful desires. And the Bible says that when you are tempted, God will always provide a way out. You always have a choice. You always have a choice to either give in and lose or stand up and win. And the good news is you can win because Jesus already won. So we can win. Amen? Jesus already defeated sin and death. You know, being the start of the new year, being that it's January and the start of the new year, many people love to make New Year's resolutions. Any guesses on what the number one most popular New Year's resolution is? Weight loss and making better eating choices. Choosing to eat healthier. Choosing to lose weight. Why? Because people like to make changes that benefit them. If it's a change that's going to benefit them, we're all about it, right? Especially if it's a change that other people are going to notice. Especially a change that's noticeable. Like, you go from whatever this size to this size, it's noticeable and makes you feel better about yourself, and you can see the progress. So you can see that my change in lifestyle is actually paying off. It's working, right? People like changes that benefit them. They like changes that are noticeable. The key to wanting to change things about ourselves, though, is that if we want to change, we have to want to change. You can write that down. You have to want to change if you want to change. You have to desire change if you want to change. If you don't want it, you're not going to get it. If you don't want to change, you're not going to change. You have to want to change if you want to change. You have to get to the point where you're going to decide, I want to change. I need to change. I want to soul detox. I want to detox my soul. I need to detox my soul. There's toxins inside of me in the form of wrong thinking and bad attitudes and negative relationships and unforgiveness, offenses, sinful desires. The list goes on. I want a soul detox. I need a soul detox. A soul detox is a positive change that will benefit you. Not only will it benefit you, but it will have noticeable results. A soul detox will have noticeable results. Not only will you notice them, but the people around you will notice them. I want to share with you this morning three keys to detoxifying the soul. Three keys to a soul detox. Number one, and I wanted to start this with number one, and that is accept the cleansing grace of God. That's number one. Most important, you have to accept the cleansing grace of God, because what is a detox? It's a cleanse. And who more can cleanse you than the righteousness of Jesus? Jesus is the only one that can truly give us a cleanse. Jesus makes us clean. Jesus removes our toxic sin. Jesus makes us righteous. You can't cleanse yourself of your sin. You can't cleanse yourself. Only Jesus can, and Jesus did by dying on the cross and then rising again. Jesus makes us clean. But as we read in the Word earlier, there can be toxins in our life that aren't necessarily sin. There are toxins in our life, things that God can't necessarily make go away for you. You have to choose it. Things like relationships, as I said earlier. We choose our relationships. If you've got toxic relationships in your life, God's not just going to make those relationships go away. Oftentimes, we have to choose. We have to set boundaries. We have to choose to set boundaries and choose who we're going to allow to have an influence in our life. God's given us the power of choice. God's grace and mercy takes care of our sins. But many of the toxins that we allow into our soul really come down to the simple choices that we make. Not all the toxins that we allow into our life are necessarily a sin issue that Jesus can take care of, that Jesus took care of. A lot of the toxins that we allow into our life are simple choices that we make. It's just a choice. Which brings me to key number two. In a soul detox, number two, make healthier choices. We've got to make healthier choices if we're going to do a soul detox. We have to accept the cleansing grace of God, but we've got to make better choices. Make healthier choices. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 says, "So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Now, we all have sinful desires. We all have sinful desires. And sin is pleasurable for a moment, but it doesn't last long. And can we be real in here and admit that sin is pleasurable for a moment? That's why we have sinful desires. That's why it's a temptation. Because we think we want it, but then once we get it or we do it, later on we're left to deal with the consequences. So the pleasure of sin is for a moment, but it doesn't last long. It's a lot like cheesecake. How many of you guys have ever been to the Cheesecake Factory? If you have not been to the Cheesecake Factory, go. Unless you're actually on a fast or a diet or trying to do a physical detox, then don't go. But you might say, I don't like cheesecake. Well, Cheesecake Factory has like 100 different varieties of cheesecake. So you might say, I don't like cheesecake, but maybe you like chocolate cake. They've got chocolate cheesecake. Or maybe you like a lemon meringue pie. They've got lemon meringue cheesecake. My personal favorite is the key lime cheesecake because I love key lime pie, but key lime cheesecake is even better than key lime pie. Anyways, cheesecake is very pleasurable in the moment. Tastes so good. All those calories taste so good. All those toxins taste so delicious entering your body. But then later on, you're left to deal with the consequence of that choice to eat the cheesecake and all its toxic badness. In the moment, it tastes like goodness, but later on, it's not. And then we don't like what it does to our bodies. It tasted good in the moment. But then we realize what it does to our bodies and how it makes us feel later on. Not so good. In the same way, sin tastes good in the moment, but afterwards we're left dealing with the side effects. And we never like the side effects of sin. We never like the consequence of sin. So we have to make healthier choices. And we have to say no to the cheesecake of sin and choose a salad instead, right? Choose the salad. Have you ever attempted a diet or a fast and then you were doing really good for 2 weeks abstaining from whatever it was you were dieting and fasting, but then 2 weeks into it, maybe 2 or 3 weeks into it, you have what we call a moment of weakness? You all know what I'm talking about when I say a moment of weakness, right? It's like, I've been so good not drinking any pop, or I've been so good not eating any junk food, not having any cake, and then you go to a nephew's birthday party, and everybody's eating cake, and you just couldn't resist. You had a moment of weakness, right? Which brings me to my last point this morning, and that is understand that moments of weakness happen. The third key to doing a soul detox is you've got to understand that moments of weakness happen. We're not perfect. We never will be perfect. And when you understand that, and when you realize that you don't have to try to be perfect, it'll set you free. Only Jesus was perfect. Jesus lived a perfectly sinless lifestyle so that we wouldn't have to, because he knew we couldn't. He fulfilled the law because he knew we couldn't. The Old Testament law and all of its demands and all of its requirements, God knew they're going to fail. Humanity is failing. So Jesus came and perfectly fulfilled all the Old Testament law so that now we don't put our trust in the law. We put our trust in the finished work of Jesus. Jesus did it for us. So you may be doing really well on the soul detox and you haven't had the cheesecake in quite a while. You've been making healthier choices, ridding your spiritual body of all these toxic attitudes, toxic thoughts, toxic relationships, toxic desires. But then you have a moment of weakness. Because that's just like the enemy. That's just like Satan. That's what he does, is he preys on our moments of weakness. He preys on our moments of weakness. God knows the desires of your heart. But you know who else knows the desires of your heart? Satan knows the sinful desires of your heart. Satan knows exactly what it takes to tempt you. Satan knows exactly what it's going to take to make you stumble. And he preys on that, and he takes advantage of that. Just like God knows the desires of our heart and wants to give us good things and wants to give us the desires of our heart, Satan knows the sinful desires of our heart, and he preys on that. He feeds on that. He takes advantage of that. He knows what it's going to take to tempt you. He knows what's tempting to you. He knows your weaknesses. But when moments of weakness happen, all we have to do is simply accept the cleansing grace of God, his forgiveness, his unconditional love. Make healthier choices and start again. Start over. Are we imperfect? Yes. Will moments of weakness happen? Yes. But God's mercies are new every morning. And the Bible says that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Wherever sin abounds, grace much more so abounds. God's grace is more than enough for you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you do, no matter how many weak moments you have, God's grace is enough for you. Amen. Bow your heads, close your eyes this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this message. God, I pray that this message fell on open ears, on open hearts. God, I pray that we will give ourselves a soul detox. A soul detox, a spiritual detox that will flush out the toxins, will flush out the toxic language, toxic thoughts, toxic beliefs, toxic attitudes, toxic relationships, toxic actions. Lord, anything that is hindering us from our full spiritual potential, we surrender these things to you, God. Give us the strength to stand strong under temptation and to make healthier choices. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. For when we do have the moments of weakness, we thank you, God, that your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for us. In Jesus' name, I just want to pray for you this morning. If you're here and if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you haven't made the choice to surrender your life fully to him, maybe you don't know if you're saved and going to heaven. The Bible is very clear that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In fact, I would tell you that you're not even living real life apart from Jesus. Jesus came to give us real life. Apart from him, you're just living. But you're not living the good life. Not saying that it's easy. But I will tell you, life with Jesus is so much better than life without. So if you're here this morning, you want to choose a life with Jesus. You want to know that you are saved, that you will go to heaven when you die. I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, but maybe you're here today and you have asked Jesus into your heart at one point in your life, but maybe today in your current lifestyle, you're not living for Jesus. You're not living for him. You're making choices for yourself. You're having those weak moments and you're living solely for yourself, for the pleasures of a sinful lifestyle. And Jesus died to set us free from that. So you don't have to be a slave to your sinful nature. You don't have to be a slave to your sin, but you can live free. Jesus came to give us freedom. People think that a lifestyle with Jesus, that a life with Jesus is rules and requirements, but it's not. It's a life of freedom. Because apart from Jesus, guess what? You're a slave to your sin. You're a slave to your sinful nature. But with Jesus, he came to set you free and to give you life more abundantly, the good life, a better life. If you're here and you want to experience a life with Jesus, you want to know that you're saved and going to heaven, on the count of three, I just want you to lift up your hand. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, no one's looking around. This is a moment between you and God. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But if you're here today and you want to experience a life with Jesus and you want to know that you are saved, that you will go to heaven when you die, on the count of three, just lift up your hand so I can pray with you. One, two, three, all over this room. Lift up your hand up high so I can see it, so I can pray with you. Amen. Amen. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Wow. Praise God. You can put your hands down. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask that everybody in this room, whether you lifted up your hand or not, I don't want anybody to be alone in this prayer. So I just want all of us to say this prayer after me. But if you did lift up your hand, I want you to not only say these words, but I want you to mean this with all of your heart, because the Bible tells us that it's with our mouth that we confess, but it's with our heart that we believe. And we are saved by not only confessing Jesus, our Lord and Savior, but it's by believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead, believing in our heart that Jesus paid the price for our sins, and that we are saved. So everybody in this room, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Father God, I thank you for sending your only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for my sins. And today I choose to live for you. I choose life. I choose a better life. And today I confess my sins. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me righteous. Make me clean. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap for that today all over this place? That is awesome. That is awesome.